You are welcome to today's worship stream here at Grace Communion Richardson. We are a group of people of faith seeking to know Jesus and to make him known through worship, through family fellowship, and through community outreach or neighborhood engagements, all out of the compelling love of God that he shares with us in Jesus Christ, our Lord. And by the power of his Spirit, you are welcome to today's worship stream. If you have any prayer requests, please do not hesitate to share them with us. We will pray with and for you. And if you have any comments, you can share those as well. You can see on the screen the address that you can send your prayers to. I'm excited to let you know that we are planning on having in-person worship as well as online worship next Sunday, Pentecost Sunday, May the 23rd. Our in-person worship, we use the same safety protocols that we had during our Easter worship. It will begin at 11 a.m., the in-person worship. Hopefully at our new space at the same address. And the online worship will be at 3 p.m. I hope I will see you either in person or online for an inspiring celebration of the gift of diversity, our unity in diversity in Jesus, the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives, the birth of the church, which is what Pentecost is all about. Hope to see you then. Last time I spoke about the incredible privilege of Jesus calling us friends and some characteristics of what friends of Jesus are. Today, I'm going to look at the ascension of Jesus and his going up with us and what that means. Now, I want to say a heartfelt thank you to Grace Communion Richardson members and our supporters for your spirit of generosity and for your giving of your time, of money, of your talents, of your energy, in helping and participating in the work of the gospel. For those of you out there, if you are moved to participate financially, in financially donating to this work of the gospel, you can see on the screen some of the ways that you can do so. Financial donations are tax deductible and they are very much appreciated. Thank you. And God bless. Please join me now for a song from our praise team, and then I'll come back for today's message. Stay with us.
What fortune lies beyond the stars, those dancing lights to climb. I got so high to fall so far, but from heaven as love swept low, my heart beating, my soul breathing, I found feet again. Everything I am, reaching out, I surrender. Come sweep me up in your love again, and my soul will dance on the wings of forever. Find me here at your feet again. Everything I am, reaching out, I surrender. Come sweep me up in your love again, and my soul will
Let us pray. Almighty Father, Son, and Spirit, the one whose love for us is so great we cannot wrap our minds around, and who has shown that love ultimately, completely, finally, abundantly in the giving of your Son, our Savior Jesus. And he came to this world, he came into our mess in order to lift us up from the ground, so to speak. And his ascension was not alone. He is ascended and gone up to be with you, O God, with us. Open our hearts and our minds to understand the incredible import, the significance of that, that our lives might be transformed. As I pray this, I do so in the name of Jesus. Amen. Jesus's ascension to the Father affirms sharing his glory with us. Now, in the liturgical calendar of us Christians, especially the West, Thursday was Ascension Thursday. That is the going up of Jesus. And that has incredible implications for not just believers only, but for all of humanity. You see, after his resurrection, Jesus showed himself in different ways and manner to his disciples over a period of about 40 days. And then finally, he returned or ascended back to the Father visibly, not to return bodily again to the disciples. And he's not done so up till now, until when he comes back again. As we believe, he chose to go up back to heaven in a visible way. The disciples, the apostles at that time, saw him being lifted up into the sky the last time that he left. Of course, over the period of 40 days, he's been coming and going, but this time he did so visibly, and he's not come back bodily since then. And it is that which is called the ascension. What does the ascension mean for us? I want us to spend some time to consider that. Perhaps you saw the movie Up. I believe it was made in 2009, if I remember correctly. It was a Pixar Disney movie, and it was about a cantankerous old man who fixed balloons all around his house and lifted up because he was tired. He was tired about his neighbors. He didn't want anything to do with them anymore. And so he fixed the balloons around his house and he lifted up. And he went up, 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 up and landed somewhere in Latin America. And to his nightmare, when he got to the place that he ended up, he saw that a little boy went up with him. He was dismayed to find that a little boy had stowed away with him as he went up. He went up with that little boy. The ascension of Jesus describes a lifting up as well, a going up, being raised up, being taken up, being raised on high. So the ascension describes an upgoing Jesus, no matter how you slice it. It was going up, and he went up. And he's gone up and has done so with you and with me. Along with him, not as stowaways like that little boy did in that movie Up, and not by himself as the cantankerous old man wanted to be, by himself. Jesus went up with you and with me, and he desired to do so. In fact, it is one of the principal reasons why he came to us in the first place. He came to us so that he may lift us up with him, to be with him where he is. In all of its ramifications. So the ascension celebrates that. The going up of Jesus with us celebrates that, reminds us of the incredible love that God has for us and his desire and destiny for you and for me to share his life of love and of joy with us as his children in Jesus Christ forever. That is what the ascension of Jesus, the going up of Jesus with us, affirms. And so many other things as well. And so we're going to look at some of these things today. Let's read this ascension of Jesus, the last one referred to as the ascension, in the book of Acts. In the book of Acts in chapter 1, this is what Luke recorded as he addressed the beginning of his record to his sponsor, Theophilus. He says, in my former book, Theophilus, and it is assumed that this refers to the gospel according to Luke. In my former book, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven. Luke wrote, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. Verse 3, after his passion, his crucifixion, he presented himself to them, that is, the disciples and apostles, and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, or in water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit," immersed in the Spirit. So he gave the disciples this instruction. Verse 6, "Then they gathered around him and asked him, 'Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?'" They were anxious for the status quo that they used to change. And they were thinking within the context of the material, of the physical. Jesus responded, verse 7, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he has said this, verse 9, "He was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight." So they saw him being lifted up into the sky. Verse 10, "They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them." Verse 11, "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." So the disciples saw Jesus ascending back into heaven bodily. And then angels came and assured them, look, this is not going to be a forever departure. Jesus is going to come back again. And you will see him return bodily as you saw him go up. So disciples saw Jesus being lifted up. And the richness of what this means is described by Jesus himself in his prayer to the Father in John chapter 17. The prayer that he prayed before his death. Let's turn to John chapter 17. And beginning from verse 11. Of course, he had said in the previous verses, especially verse 3, that eternal life involves a knowing relationship of Father and Son for us as humans. In verse 11, Jesus prayed this prayer: "I will remain in the world no longer," he's talking to the Father, "but they," that is disciples, "are still in the world. You and me are in the world. You and I are here still." The disciples at that time were as well. And Jesus says, "I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them," verse 12, "I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that scripture would be fulfilled. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world." My prayer, Jesus continues, is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. And when Jesus says that he is not of the world and we are not of the world, he's not saying that we do not live in this world and do not, interact in this world. He's just basically saying that we are not motivated we are not motivated or live by the systems and the worldview and the structures of this world. What motivates the world is not what motivates Jesus and his disciples. Our frame of reference is different from the world. Jesus is our frame of reference. Jesus is our standard bearer, not the world. And so, verse 16 again, they are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Verse 17, sanctify them or set them apart or dedicate them by the truth. Your word is truth. And so as we live, as we study, and as we live by the word of God, the written word that points us and leads us to the living word, as we listen to the living word of God, we are set apart or dedicated. Because the truth is like a light that lights our way. It gives us a new vision, a new way of seeing things, of understanding things, a new perspective. And that new way, that new perspective is Jesus, because the truth is Jesus. Verse 18, as you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them, verse 19, I sanctify myself, I set myself apart, that they too may be truly sanctified, so that we may share in Jesus' set apartness, if you please. And what does it mean that Jesus is set apart, or that we are set apart? Again, it simply refers to the fact that we recognize we're no longer our own. Our identity is in Jesus, not in the world. That sets us apart. Our worldview is shaped by Jesus, not the world. Our perspective, our motivations are informed by who God is as he reveals himself to us in his Son and through his Spirit. That's set apartness. And it is a dedication, because it's a commitment. It is compelling. And Jesus' ascension affirms all of this, friend. Jesus affirms what his ascension would mean for his disciples as he prayed this prayer to the Father. He's saying, look, as I'm coming back to you, it will mean protection for my disciples. All right. So he starts that in verse 11. He says, I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I'm coming to you. Protect them, Holy Father, by the power of your name. So with the ascension of Jesus with us, we are assured and affirmed of protection. Now, that is not to say that the protection that we are guaranteed means that nothing bad happens to us. That's not the protection this is about. This is the ultimate protection. It's the protection that says no matter what bad thing happens to you, it will not be victorious over you. It will not conquer you. Because we have the one who is the victorious one. We have the name of the one who is the conqueror. And so, when Jesus talks about protection for us, he's not saying that life is going to be a bed of roses for us. No, that it's going to be all peaches and cream. No, he's saying that no matter what difficulties that we go through, you know, as the psalmist says in Psalm 23, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear, for you are with me. your rod and your staff, they comfort me. That protection is what Jesus is talking about. It's not a protection of preventing bad things from happening to God's people or humanity. It is the protection that is sourced in the sovereignty of God, who has the last word, and whose last word is nothing, no weapon amassed against you will prosper. The rains will come, the sun will scorch, the earth will move, and you will remain ultimately standing after all of that's happened and gone. That's the protection Jesus affirms for us in this prayer, and it is a protection that his ascension, his being taken up and being taken up with us, affirms as well. So the ascension, the upness, if I may coin that term, of Jesus with us affirms our protection. We're going to go through all kinds of difficulties as human beings and as Christians, but he's assuring us that those difficulties, those traumas, those challenges will not have victory over us. They will not overcome us. Rather, in Jesus, we overcome and we are more than conquerors. And so, the ascension of Jesus means protection. It means triumph over the world's ways and means. It means a complete joy in Jesus, victory for us. It means being set apart or dedicated in the truth who is Jesus. Now let's read verses 20 to 25. So this is what the ascension is all about. And so Jesus continues in his prayer and he says, my prayer, verse 20, is not for them alone. So he wasn't praying just for the folks who were with him at that time. As he was praying this in John chapter 17, I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, because he has said earlier that as you sent me, in verse 18, I sent them. And they are being sent, the disciples, with the message of who God is in Christ Jesus, the sacrificial love of God, the inclusion into his life that he invites all of us into as human beings, as our destiny. As many as his disciples share this good news with and become a part of the believing group of people, he says, I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. So our unity in Jesus is paramount for Jesus in his prayer here. And our unity in Jesus is affirmed with his ascension. No matter what your background, no matter where you come from, no matter what you look like, Jesus says that we are one in him. We understand our differences. We understand our diversity through the basic bedrock of our unity in Jesus Christ. May they also be one in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Verse 22, I have given them the glory that you gave me. So Jesus shares his glory with us, that they may be one as we are one. So our being united and harmonious is an expression of the glory that Jesus shares with us. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. And oh, how much do we need that sense of unity in today's world? You see in the news all the division and the hate, the separateness, the apartness. And Jesus says that when his people live together in unity, it's a testament of his glory, and it is a testament of our discipleship and our fellowship with him and our Father in heaven. Verse 24, Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you and they know that you have sent me. So Jesus wants us to be with him where he is. And so he took us up with him in his ascension. Inclusion of other disciples in the blessings affirmed by the ascension, as well as unity in identity and communion or fellowship with Father, Son, and Spirit affirmed by the ascension, and with one another affirmed by the ascension. Belief in God's love for us affirmed by the ascension. And this belief in God's love for us is demonstrated in Jesus' desire for us to be with him where he is. Our participation in his life, in his mission, in the glory of Jesus. That's beautiful. That's what the ascension affirms. That's what ascension reminds us of, friend. So do you realize that Jesus went up to the Father with you? That his going up to the Father gives you a new identity and a transformation in him. With the understanding that he will never leave nor forsake you. In the next 2 weeks, I challenge you, friend, to begin each day when you wake up to remind yourself, engage in this self-talk that says that God loves me. And God includes me in his life, in his mission, and in his glory, in his love, in his Son. And live the rest of the day in light of that reality, that truth, that you are a beloved child of God, no matter what your faults and weaknesses may be. Start with that truth. Amen. I hope you do. I look forward to seeing you next time as we continue to live out the reality of Jesus' ascension. He's going up to the Father with us. And our participation in his life, in his mission, in his love, and in his glory with others. Sharing him with others. Seeking to know him and to make him known through relationships of love, of faith, and of hope. In worship, in family fellowship, and in neighborhood engagements, all through the power of the Spirit, and to his honor and to his glory. Amen. I'll see you next time. Right now, join our praise team for a last song, and God willing, we'll see you next Sunday. God bless. Great is your love, let the whole world Did you know that the day Jesus started his church is called Pentecost? It is the same day that the Holy Spirit came and many people heard the gospel in their own languages. Come celebrate the gift of diversity on Sunday, May 23rd. Mark your calendar for a message highlighting the unity in diversity that we have in Jesus Christ. Pentecost reminds us that we are never meant to do this life alone. We do it with the Spirit and with one another. I cannot wait to see you at Grace Communion Richardson for Pentecost. I want to invite you to a Zoom discussion after this message. The ID is on the screen. If you need to call using the phone, the phone number is on your screen as well. If you are watching on Facebook, the link that you can click on to join Zoom is in the description. If you are watching from our website, the link is on top of the video. I look forward to meeting you on Zoom for discussion and for fellowship. God bless.